Welcome back to Holy Sisterhood, the podcast. Today is different and special because we are recording remotely, for one. And then two, my very, very good friend Karen is on with us. If you don't know, Karen and I used to record podcasts together on a podcast called Looking Above. They're still all there, so you can go back and listen. But I'm really excited to have you on today.
Thank you. It's good to be here. It's good to be back in podcast mode.
Yeah, I know. I'm very happy to be recording with you again. So the reason, well, first let's start with Karen. Will you just introduce yourself? Tell us about your family, your life.
Sure. Absolutely. So I am a Wesleyan pastor, and my husband and I are planting a church in Spokane Valley, Washington. We just moved here in June. And so this year has just been a crazy roller coaster that God has taken us on, and we are still adjusting to life in the Pacific Northwest. We're originally from Pennsylvania, so we are like as far away from home as we could be in the same country. And so we're adjusting here. We have three kids in college. Andrew, our oldest, is in his master's, working towards becoming a pastor. And then we have two girls, Kalena and Valerie, and they are both down at Oklahoma Wesleyan. Kalena is a graphic design major, and Valerie is a business communications major. And then we still have Daniel at home. He is 11 and a fifth grader here, and he has started at Valley Christian School and is adjusting to a new school and a new home and everything new. And he told me last night, I want to go back. I want everything to be the same as it was. And so it's been a season of adjustment for all of us. But
that is hard, especially in fifth grade. Yeah. I still laugh about when you told me like that God told you you were going to be moving, which we'll get into more later. But when you told Daniel, he's like, well, God might have told you, but he didn't tell me. So you're like, well, you're included in that. Sorry.
Yeah.
So I was going to say earlier, the reason that we are not recording regularly right now is because you moved, for one.
Right.
And then two, are really busy day to day church planting.
Yes.
So I kind of want you to start at maybe the beginning-ish of when you kind of started feeling like God was saying, going to send you. Because it was not on your plans, right, to move.
Right. No. So in January, the district superintendent of the Northwest District of the Wesleyan Church had approached us. We sat down for lunch, and he said, I have this church planting opportunity, and I think you guys would be a really good fit. I think it's a great opportunity. There's this property in Spokane Valley that's 7 acres, has a small church and a parsonage, and just a really, really great location. And we would love to have someone go in there. The church had kind of just died off. We'd love to have someone go in there, plant a new church, and then make that a hub for church planting in this region. There are not a lot of Wesleyan churches in Washington State. Mm-hmm. So, or just, you know, the whole Oregon and Idaho, all of that.
Yeah.
So he kind of gave us this vision of planting a church, but then of us becoming kind of mentors to church planters in this area. So at first it was kind of one of those, like, you've got the wrong people. That is not us. We are not church planters. You know, like, we are pastors, and that is what we know, and that is what we do. And, so of course,
didn't one of you or your husband, Paul, say at one point, like, I'll never plant a church?
Oh, Paul said that. Yeah.
Yeah.
On several occasions. And, you know, and that's funny, going backwards in the story, last summer, so not this year, but 2023 summer, I had been taking a class towards becoming ordained in the Wesleyan Church. And while I was taking that class and just really seeking God, God gave me some words. And he said, everyone gives, everyone serves, everyone grows. And at that point, it was just kind of like this seed. And I remember saying to Paul, God gave me these words. If I ever planted a church, this would be the culture. Everyone serves, everyone gives, everyone grows. And Paul's like, yeah, but we'll never plant a church. I'm not a church planter. And so I just kind of like filed that away because I thought, yeah, we'll never plant a church. Like, it's just not Paul's thing.
Yeah.
So don't tell God I will never, because he loves to see us eat those words. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so this year he called us to that. And the really crazy thing was, you know, when Wes Smith had come to us and given us this opportunity, at the same time he said, and also, you know, there are some other churches around that need pastors. It was almost like, this is what I think you should be doing. But if you guys are sensing at all that God is calling you to do something new, here are some other churches that just need a pastor and you could go and plug in. And so we just went into this season of prayer and just saying like, God, what do you have for us? And immediately I felt in my spirit that none of those churches were a match for us. Like, it was just like, we looked them up and I just, one after another, I was like, that's just not like, that's not where we're called.
What's hard about that is logistically, though, your kids were going to school in Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. And so with some of those other churches, you would have been closer to them, which is what we wanted.
Yeah.
And so it was actually saying no to like what you wanted to.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely.
Saying, this isn't it, even though it might look better.
Right. Right. Yes. There was definitely a my flesh versus God's will kind of battle going on in that season, because yes, you know, when I look at it on a map and I think I could be 2.5 hours from my girls, that means I could go and have lunch with them and be home the same day. You know, like that was so appealing to Karen.
Yeah.
But it just one after another, it was just this, like, that just isn't right. And, you know, the way that I hear from God is often just, I just know things, you know, God just gives me a knowledge. And it was just one of those, like, again and again, like, this is not what we're supposed to do. I just knew. Yeah. So, it was really hard to say no to a bunch of those, because they would have been in warm climates or near my children. And those
are both on your list
of my priorities. Yeah. But my highest priority is doing what God wants me to do. And so, yeah, a lot of prayer. Eventually, we did come up and visit. And I remember you in that season had said to me, you said, well, who do you feel responsible for? Because there was this tension, too, of I have a great ministry at New Life and I have people here that I am caring for. And then there's all these other churches and then there's this church plant that they're asking us to do. And, there was just a real tension of, I don't know what I'm supposed to do, God, and you need to make this really clear. And I didn't feel like he was. And you said to me, you know, who do you feel responsible for? And those words just kind of lingered in my head. And we came and we visited, and it was like as soon as I stepped foot on this property, I felt like it was mine to take care of.
Yeah.
And so, and not just the property, but the people, but very much like I got on the property and it was like, oh my word, like all I could see was everything that was in disrepair and that I needed to fix.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it felt like.
God like highlighted that for you. Mm-hmm. And then the people there too. Mm-hmm.
Right.
So emotionally, yeah. Mm-hmm. That wasn't, like we said, what you wanted to maybe do. That wasn't your list of requirements to go to Washington.
Right.
Because the weather is not warm all the time. It is better, right? Isn't it?
Than Wyoming?
Than Wyoming, yeah.
There's more distinct seasons here. Mm-hmm. So.
Which you like. So there's that. It's a pro, but you would have probably preferred somewhere warmer and then yes, closer to your kids,
right,
if you were going to move, because you guys didn't even have that on your radar either.
Right.
And God kind of just kept reiterating to you, like, this is what I want you to do.
Okay.
So in that season, like you said, that I said about like who do you feel responsible for? That's one way, like one practical thing you did in this season of not knowing what you were doing. You brought a select few people in to pray with you.
Right.
And that was really helpful for you guys, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, for sure. For me, especially, you know, we had a very small life group. And so it was one of those, like I said to Paul, I need my people praying with me. And he had some, pastor friends back in Pennsylvania that he had enlisted to pray as well. But yes, I had spoken in confidence with our life group at the time and just said, I don't want to make this decision alone. And, you know, we're talking about emotions. Like, I don't want my emotions to dictate this decision, because my emotions are, I am sad that I'm being asked to leave a thriving ministry that I care very much about and people that I care very much about. And so that felt like a tremendous loss to be asked to step away from that. There was fear. There still is fear of moving to a place that I don't know and people that I don't know and having to start something from scratch. There was just the, I don't know even what the emotion would be. I know she has her key emotions, but, just, I guess it was, again, fear of not wanting to make the wrong decision, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
So it was just like, God, I want you to be so, so, so clear with me so I can't screw this up. Like, I just, and not I, we, but I just don't want us to ever do anything, you know, because of our desires. So, yeah.
It's so hard when, especially as a mom, when your kids are involved, to see things clearly sometimes, I think.
Right.
Emotions can definitely fog our vision when it pertains to our kids. So you're thinking like, okay, Daniel's going to have to move to a new school and we're going to be further. And you were sending off Valerie. So further from three of your kids.
Right.
So yeah, I think that is so wise to bring others in. I know that it wasn't like, it wasn't a situation where you could bring everybody into it, but your trusted small circle to pray alongside you and then to speak truth of what God was saying to them too.
Right. And you know, just as you said that about your trusted small circle, I think sometimes when we're in these emotional situations, and not just discernment situations, but when our emotions are big, either we go to one of two extremes, right? So either, whoops, I almost dropped my coffee. Either we isolate and tell no one and we try and deal with it on our own, or we overshare and we go to Facebook and vomit our emotions out for the whole world to see because we want validation or we want, you know, attention or someone's approval, whatever. And so we tend to go to one of these extremes. And so often I think our emotions need to find that small circle. We need to have those people that we can trust to handle our emotions well. Because when we go to that wide circle, we are bound to get all sorts of advice.
Right.
And all sorts of feedback. And it's not always going to be godly counsel.
And when you're in those positions, you are more fragile because there's a lot at stake. And it's hard. And so when you're being told things, I think that you could easily receive something as truth when it's not. So if you do open it up to everybody, and there can even be friends, and I'm sure I've been this friend and I've had a friend do it to me where they love you and they don't want to see you hurt. So they speak what they think you want to hear versus truth.
Oh yes. Yes.
And you can receive it really easily because you're like, that is what I want to hear. That is what I wanted to say or do or whatever. And so it's just really important, I think, to have people that aren't scared to speak truth to you that maybe you don't want to hear or that is harder to hear.
Right.
And when you find those people, they do it lovingly. Like, I remember having a lot of hard conversations with you, and you've done it with me. Mm-hmm. It's not unlovingly, but it's still really hard to take because you're like, oh, that's hard. I didn't want to hear that.
Right. Right. Yeah. If someone is just telling you everything you want to hear, then you need to say, is this coming from God? And like you said, it is from a place of love. So often our friends love us, but because they love us, they are biased towards us. Mm-hmm. And so a very dangerous thing to do when we are hurting or struggling is to go to friends who are just going to tell us what we want to hear.
Like yes people.
Yeah. We don't need yes people when we're hurting. We need God's people when we're hurting. And we need people who are going to listen to God and then bring us what God is saying. And that's what our life group was doing for me in that season. And I think you probably remember, I don't know, there was a lot of in and out and sickness that semester. And I don't know who was there what night, but there was a night when Joy looked at me and she said, Karen, I'm going to say something very hard to you, but I think this is what God wants me to say. And she said, you know what you're supposed to do.
Yeah, I do remember that. And I actually was thinking of that too. Mm-hmm. I think she even was like, and I know it's from God because I don't want to say it. Mm-hmm. Like, I want to be your yes person, but I am I'm going to be obedient over that.
Mm-hmm.
We all do have the same goal, and that is to walk in God's will for our lives and to follow Him above our family, our children, ministry. All those things are good, but really what's best is God's plan.
Right.
So I think there's this misconception that when you're walking in God's will, that there will be all these green lights and open doors, or like you will feel peace. I hear that a lot. Like, well, do you feel peace about that decision? So I kind of want you to speak to that a little bit, because I think that is an easy lie to get trapped in, that when you make a decision that you're following God's will, that you feel only peace.
Right, right. And, you know, I think foundationally, people who are saying this are looking to scripture and Jesus saying, you know, his peace he gives us. He gives us a perfect peace. He doesn't give us like the world does. And that is the key. His peace is not like the world's peace. And so, yes, we look for green lights and open doors. And we think, as long as the doors keep opening, as long as this is easy, then I'm walking in God's way. And I honestly think that oftentimes it is the exact opposite. Mm-hmm. Oftentimes when we are walking in God's way, we are going to have every single thing come against us. And it's not going to be easy to be obedient. And look at the life of Jesus, you know, like he was so determined to walk in his Father's way and to do God's will. But over and over again, it was difficult. And the Pharisees came against him and he kept having to leave this region and go to another area because they were going to try and kill him, you know. And
so it was door. Like,
right. And so it was not easy from the world standpoint. It was probably not peaceful from the world standpoint when you have a whole group of people that are chasing after you and that want to kill you all the time and that are angry with you. That is not peaceful. That is not open doors. And so, it is a tricky thing that we find if we are living with a theology that says, oh, if I have an open door, that's God's will. Or if I feel peace in my heart, that's God's will. Because let me tell you, oftentimes when I am doing God's will is when I have the most unrest. Mm-hmm. And it's because I'm facing spiritual opposition. It's because the closer I get to God and the more that I chase him and that I am walking in his will, the more the enemy is throwing everything that he has at me. And that is what I've been experiencing since we have gotten here. It is just one thing after another, and it's little things and it's big things, and everything is harder than it should be. I mean, I just keep saying to Paul, like, I would cry if I don't laugh about how hard everything is right now. Like, I couldn't get a church phone without 2 hours on with customer service who couldn't fix it. And then another phone. Like, everything is just like so much more difficult than it should be. There has not been, I don't think, one thing. I mean, you know, our bank account took weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks to get open because no one would give us a bank account. It's just strange, silly things. But it just-
so also though, when you are following in God's will, a lot of times he's not asking you to do things in your own strength. So the things that you're doing are scary. Mm-hmm. So you do feel fear and you do feel like, okay, I'm trusting you, but I can't do this by myself. Like, and those are the places where, yes, our faith grows the most and we get very close to him. But mm-hmm. I would say that you still feel a sense of fear, like you've said.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I have cried more tears since we moved than I don't know. I've had a lot of different things in the last few years, but I feel like I have cried more since moving here than I have in years. And it's a lot of fear and it's a lot of just going to God and saying like, I don't know that you picked the right person. I don't know why you sent me here. I know nothing of any of this.
But gosh, that is also a common theme biblically.
Right.
Like so many of the people that God's chosen are like, oh, wrong person. That's not me. And then he's like, yeah, I know. I'm going to do it through you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like it's just the constant God. There are things that I know how to do and there are things that I don't know how to do. And right now, everything I'm doing, I don't know how to do, you know? Mm-hmm. And so, I know a big portion of this chapter was just, you know, like, turning to God. And there was a quote that said, he untangles the knots through seasons of tears and raw honesty and running again and again back to him because he cares for us. He wants all of us. He wants to know it all. And that is really like, it is a season of dependence for me. Where I am just running to him over and over. Like, I can't even tell you how many times a day I am stopping, praying, crying, turning to him again and just being like, God, I don't know what I'm doing and you have got to help me. Like, you have to show up because I cannot do this. Mm-hmm. I put Daniel to bed and I lay on the couch and I cry at night and just bring my emotions to him over and over. And just like, I'm finding solace in the Psalms and just feeling like that's where David was so often, you know, like, God, I cannot do this on my own. And what you're calling me to do is hard and my enemies are many. And, it always seems like they're winning. And so like my battle isn't against people, but there's a very real spiritual battle going on in this area and just in my life, you know, the enemy is just trying to wear me down. And so it's just again and again saying, God, will you fight this battle? God, will you intervene? God, you've got to show up because I am not enough to make any of this happen. Right. And you've got to give me wisdom. You got to show me what to do in this situation because I don't know what I'm doing. Like, I can't say that enough. I don't know what I'm doing right now, but God does. And that's what I keep reminding him of. Like, God, I just read the story of Pentecost over and over. Like, you started this church and you didn't have methods and plans and all of this stuff that is provided for us now. Like, you did it. And so I just keep saying, you've got to do this, God, you've got to do this. So,
well, I appreciate your honesty and not making it like, oh no, everything's good, because you know, it's not all the time. Mm-hmm. And when I asked you if we could move our podcast up, because we weren't supposed to record for a few weeks, you were like, well, it's going to be real and raw because of where I'm right now. And I was like, perfect, let's do it. But I think that in those spaces, and I'm sure you've seen this, there is so much fruit too. Mm-hmm. Like, it is hard and it is a lot and it's exhausting and overwhelming, but there is relationship that grows with you and God, because you literally have to trust him like moment by moment.
Mm-hmm.
So Jenny Allen said, I have to find the quote. Oh, faith isn't summoned. It grows. It grows because of relationship, mm-hmm. not your willpower. Mm-hmm. And I thought of you when I read that, because you are a great example of that. It is relationship where your faith grows. It's not like, oh, I am going to trust God. That does work at the mm-hmm. beginning, I think. Mm-hmm. Like, you can make a choice, and that's what we're kind of talking about, is choosing mm-hmm. God. But then you have to continue to make that choice over and over and over and see him be faithful to you and see him mm-hmm. be there to comfort you, you know, after you lay Daniel down and are sad and confused, or when Daniel's having a hard time at school because it's totally new.
Mm-hmm.
You can feel that responsibility, but then you can bring it to God and be like, this sucks. Like, I don't like this right now. But you are giving him a chance to comfort you mm-hmm. instead of turning to other things. And we've talked about that in previous podcasts this season, but mm-hmm. instead of coping or concealing or hiding, you just are honest mm-hmm. with God.
Mm-hmm.
And then from that, God can transform you through the whole process.
Right.
Do you have anything to add to that? Like, for the transformation piece,
mm-hmm.
have you seen that? Or, I mean, we see it biblically, mm-hmm. but have you seen that in your life, I guess?
I've seen
in the beginning stages too, though, of mm-hmm. the church plant.
Yeah, I think, you know, and of course, I have a very long-standing relationship with God, and he and I have walked through a lot of valleys and a lot of difficult seasons. And so, you know, for me in this season, and even when, you know, right now I'm saying to God, like, I need you to show up, but I'm not seeing you. Where are you? You know, like, I'm getting real. You should have seen me. I think it was Saturday afternoon. I was at the church and I was just in a mood about some things. And I started by just trying to be obedient. And I know that, oh goodness, I feel like I have a fuzz in my nose. Sorry. I just might need a sneeze. I started by being obedient because I know that God inhabits the praises of his people. So I turned worship music on and I started, like, just walking around our sanctuary and singing at the top of my lungs and just saying, God, I need you to come near. And then, I went and I sat by the cross we have in the front of the auditorium and I just bawled. I mean, I ugly cried, like, the hardest I have cried in a long time. Mm-hmm. And I just said, God, where are you? Like, I probably asked him that question like 50 times, like, over and over. Where are you? Where are you? Where are you? Like, I have been obedient. I've done my part. I'm trying so hard to follow you. And I just don't see what you're doing here.
Well, I think about, like, so this kind of goes back to, yeah, you don't, even if you are being obedient and you're making these big moves, I think that there's sometimes this misconception again, like, mm-hmm. like kisses from Katie Davis that moved to Uganda. You just think mm-hmm. you're going to, like, see God so big and so real. And you do, mm-hmm. but sometimes it's not in the ways
right.
or the timeline that you expect or right. want.
Right.
And
we will. And I know we will, because mm-hmm. I know God. But I think where I was going with that is because I've walked with God a long time, because I know him and I have a relationship that is established, you know, there are things that, you know, with your husband that you will say to him that you won't say to anyone else, mm-hmm. or, you know, there are things in close friendships that you say that you wouldn't confront someone else with. And mm-hmm. so I think I feel that freedom to say to God, where are you? Like, mm-hmm. you called me here and now you're just letting me figure this out. Like, you need to show up. It's your mm-hmm. turn. This is your doing, you know? And I think a lot of people are afraid to talk to God like that. and to get raw and to just be authentic with him and take those emotions to him and say, like, I feel like this is a bait and switch. And I thought I was going to come and see you move in power. And right now, all I have is 8,000 roadblocks and sitting on hold for hours every day, you know? So, so I think that that's driven by relationship. And I know that I can be honest with him, but, I think I said, I don't know if it was before we were recording or once we started, that I've really looked into the Psalms a lot lately and just found, I don't know, kinship with David. And like, I just keep reminding myself, he was called a man after God's own heart. And he was so real with God and so authentic with him. But then at the end of like every single Psalm, after he just like lets God have it, he always turns back to praise. And so I've just tried in this season to do that and to, like, I will just pour everything out to God and then I come back to, but you are God and you are good. And I think, what were those two questions that she had at the end of this?
What do you want me to know and what do you want me to do?
Right. And I've, like, if you look at my journal that I've been keeping this year, I ask God all the time, what do you want to do? What do you want to do? What, this is your church plant. What do you want to do here? Show me your will. And as much as I keep coming to him and saying, God, will you do this for me? Will you do this for me? Then I keep saying to him, what do you want to do? And what is my part? What do you want me to do? So I keep trying to bring it back to that. Like, I know that he is God and I am not God and I don't get to dictate what he does. I'm to be obedient to him, not the other way around. And so at the end of the day, there is that truth piece.
That's what I was going to say.
Where I get out all of my emotions, but then I have to lean into, but Karen, you know what the truth is. And you know the truth is that God is in charge. Karen is not in charge. This is God's church, not Karen's church. And God will show up whenever he very well pleases. And you just better be ready, you know? So at the end of the day, it's taking my mind, taking my thoughts captive and saying, okay, this is my feelings, but then these are my thoughts, and are my thoughts truth? And often the thoughts are not founded in truth. And so then I have to look back to scripture, take my thoughts captive, get rid of the ones that are lies, and think on the truth. And so for me, just again and again, it's he is Lord, he is in charge. I follow him, not the other way around. And so it's me just saying, God, what do you want to do?
And there's two parts. There's one, you're being honest with God because you have relationship with him. You trust that you can do that and he is still going to love you. And then two, then you speak truth to your soul. You pastor your soul with truth.
Right.
And I think that that's the part that a lot of us forget.
Right. Because we like to wallow.
We like to be the victim and feel sorry for ourselves. And so when we're talking about emotions, and I've been feeling really convicted about this, it's really easy to be like, feel what you feel. And I do think that there is power in that, but that's not where you stop. You then speak truth to those feelings and with the authority God has given you. So another thing that I thought of when you were talking about that, is it Saturday that you were just crying in your sanctuary? She quotes, a quote from Jenny Allen is, being desperate is not only a problem, it's an opportunity. Desperate people knock on doors they wouldn't normally knock on to get help that they wouldn't otherwise need. And so that comes from Matthew 7:7-8. And it says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. If you were not in this position, you wouldn't be at the front of the sanctuary being like, God, show up, and repeatedly saying, what do you want me to do? I want to do what you want me to do. So he's positioned you in like a, it doesn't feel beautiful probably, but it is because of being able to continually go to him over and over. So I think that that is the transforming piece of it.
Right.
We in our culture want to see like transformation like that.
Mm-hmm. And we want it to be easy.
Yeah. Yeah. We would like for all the lights to be green and all the doors to be open. And I am also guilty of that. I don't really like it when I have roadblocks. And so, yeah, we want all of that. But the transforming part of it is the heart. That's where we're refined.
Right.
Where our faith is grown.
Right. Right. And that only happens, again, you know, when we're spending time with him. We only become like him if we are abiding in him. I think that's where transformation happens. You know, John 15, the vine and the branches. And we just have to grow to be so tethered to him. And hard times do that because we get desperate. Like that quote that she was saying, we get desperate and we just seek him more.
Well, and we realize how self-sufficiency can only take us so far. There's certain things that we cannot do by ourselves or even with our community. Mm-hmm. There's certain things only God can do, certain places only God can comfort.
Right.
And so, yeah, that is the transformational piece. And also the choice part of it is, like you said, that only happens when we're spending time with him. Mm-hmm. So it would be so easy to turn to alcohol or vices, Netflix, whatever. Work. There's so many things, or even stuff it or conceal it or whatever we've talked about. But that's where the choice comes in. And that's why I wanted you to talk specifically about this, because throughout our relationship, you've constantly, I've watched you choose God, but also you've spoken truth to me that's helped with that. Mm-hmm. So that we have those friends, you know, that are that, like we said, that are yes people. And then sometimes even not our yes people friends are encouraging, and you don't not let me get my emotions out. You listen and you allow me to confide in you and say what I'm feeling. But then there's the choice part where you speak truth and you say, okay, but this is what is true. Mm-hmm. This is what we know. This is what God is going to do.
Right.
Because look at his scripture.
Yeah. Yeah. There are times, you know, there are times when our emotions come on hot and fast, and we need truth to just stop it quick because of a spiral, you know. Yeah. I mean, I think this is a real quick example, but the day that Quinn broke her leg.
Oh, yes.
And your emotions like hit you so fast, right? And I mean, that is hard as a mom to be like, oh my goodness, my baby is not okay and I need to be there. And what's this going to mean? And like our mind just very quickly, just 0 to 60 in a second. And so there are times when we need truth just to stop it, because the emotions are not even rational.
And they're not helpful.
Right. Either. Right. Like, in that moment,
I didn't need to sit and be like, I feel this way, because it wasn't helpful. You knew how I felt. It was scary.
Right. And those emotions weren't going to help you be a better mom in that moment. Yeah. You know, it's like, okay, later at the end of the day, then I'll sit down and have a good cry. But right now I need to like just stop that train of thought. Mm-hmm. So yeah, we need those people who are going to, in the moment, sometimes say, wait, knock it off.
Mm-hmm.
Take this captive, you know, like make your emotions stop for just a second, because you need to be rational in this moment. And some of us are really good at doing that for ourselves. Most of us aren't. Most of us need those people in our lives who, in that moment when we're just starting to spiral and we need to not, we need someone to say that. But then there are other times, right, when there is an actual situation that we are grieving or going through or whatever that is hard or fearsome or whatever. And so we feel those emotions for a while, but then, you know, she talks about not getting into a season of that and getting stuck there. And she gave us a whole list of questions in this chapter that if you are in that season where you're kind of stuck in emotion, then, you know, maybe it's time for counseling or whatever. She gave us that whole list. But there are times I think that we could avoid getting into the season if we had friends who are walking with us through the hard time, who then pull alongside and say, okay, you have been in this dark valley. But we don't sit down or lie down in the dark valley. We walk through it. And friends who are going to say, and I'm going to walk with you but we're going to keep moving forward. And here's the truth of God's word. And this is who God is. And this is what we can believe. And this is what we can hold on to as we continue to move forward.
Yeah. So I'm a big advocate for counseling and all the things, but I've been listening to different podcasts with Kurt Thompson and Rebecca Lyons and things like that, or people like that, that have been saying, like, we kind of are overdoing it a little bit with the counseling thing. We don't always need it all the time.
Well, and because we're not good at relationship anymore.
So we're like, I will pay you to be my friend. Listen to me. Right. Tell me truth.
Right. And we worked on developing good spiritual friendships, we would have far less need for counseling in the day to day. Sure, there is past trauma and things that need counseling. I am all for counselors. Some of my best friends are counselors. Love them. But there's so much that wouldn't need counseling if we had good friendships where people are going to speak truth in our lives.
Yeah, I agree. Do you have anything else you want to add? I feel like we hit a lot of the bases I wanted, and I just am grateful that you moved your schedule around and winged it with me again to speak on this topic of choosing God.
Yeah, I think it's just that, you know, I just choose him over and over and over again. And I know so many of the ladies, you know, heard me say this before I left, like, I would rather be uncomfortable and in God's will than comfortable anywhere else. And that is the truth at the end of all of this, is that it may sometimes be really difficult and really uncomfortable. And there may be a lot of emotion involved. You know, this season, the emotion I have felt has taken me by surprise in a lot of ways. Yeah. Like, what is going on? Like, I am not okay, but I am okay. You know, I'm grieving and I'm going through things that I've never done before and learning and growing, but I would still rather be here and uncomfortable than doing something that's outside of God's will and keeps me comfortable. But our society says be comfortable at all costs. And so I think I would just end with, do the things that make you uncomfortable, get outside of your comfort zone, and don't be afraid of those emotions. I mean, you know, probably better than anyone else, but all of you know, I hate the hard emotions. I hate crying. Yeah. I hate feeling sad. It is not my personality at all. I just want to have fun and be happy. But I would rather sit here in the hard with God than go be happy and not be doing what he wants for me.
Yeah. Well, thank you for sharing the hard and the yucky feeling emotions, your vulnerability.
Yep. Absolutely. My pleasure.